Yo, what's good? Top of the Top, episode 171, Stash House Podcast. Thank y'all for tuning in. Got a lot to talk about this episode. NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors, took care of business. Gonna talk about their dynasty. Also, new music, Drake, surprise album. Left a lot of people in the uproar, man, from the timeline to the group chats. So I'm here to give my opinion on that album as well. And in wrestling news, man, Vince McMahon, $3 million hush-up money. Little details given us right now, so I'm going to talk about that as much as I can. So sit back, relax, enjoy episode 171, Stash House Podcast. Let's get it. Yo, what's up, what's up? Episode 171, Stash House Podcast. Your boy Tyler checking in. First time listeners, thank y'all for tuning in. If you tune in weekly, salute. And just an episode, talk some topics you may want to hear about. Salute to you as well. Like, share, subscribe, retweet, whatever you do to help support the podcast. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Shout out to everybody listening, different streaming platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor app, YouTube viewership. We back on YouTube this week after last week, technical difficulty. Shout out to all the YouTube listeners, all the YouTube subscribers, man. Support, man. Sharing with y'all friends, y'all people. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. Like I said, man, we back on YouTube. Everything back as scheduled, and what a great week to be back at schedule, man. A lot to get to this week, a lot of topics to discuss, and y'all know I love episodes like this, man, where it's different things I enjoy a lot, with sports, NBA finals, shit, wrestling, and a lot to talk about in music as well, man. A lot of stuff had my timeline in frenzy, my group chat in frenzy, so I'm not going to waste no more time, man. I'm just going to get right into it. Starting off, NBA finals. It ended last week. Golden State Warriors finished off the Boston Celtics in six games, as I predicted. So salute to me getting a prediction right for a good minute, man. It's been a minute in sports since I got a prediction all the way right. So salute to me on that. As I predicted, man, Golden State Warriors won in six. Their fourth title in 8 years. So a big salute. Congratulations to the Golden State Warriors, man. That whole organization throughout these past 10 years, definitely these past 7-8 years, man. The dynasty is fulfilled. The dynasty is approved, in my opinion, man. And like I said, that was the only thing I believe that was the difference maker, I feel like, in this series. I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. Steph Curry won his first NBA Finals MVP. Greatly, greatly deserved. He was easily, in my opinion, the best player on the court the entire series. Andrew Wiggins, second, along with, you know what I'm saying, he's a Golden State Warrior as well. Andrew Wiggins was second, in my opinion, in that aspect. Shout out to Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Steve Kerr, the coach, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala. They all got four rings now, man. Like I said, their dynasty is confirmed. And going back, like I said, when I gave my prediction, man, that was my biggest takeaway. I believe Golden State's ambition and drive to prove themselves as a dynasty was going to outweigh Boston's young talent getting their first ring, man. And all in all, I think Golden State did exactly that, man. Should be no questions, no debate on if that team is a dynasty. Just going off, not even, like I said last week, I talk about their dynasty run, the championships, but just within the past 2 years, man, after Kevin Durant left, after they lost to the Toronto Raptors, Kevin Durant left, and of course, in that series, Klay Thompson got hurt. Klay Thompson been hurt for the past 2 years. He just returned earlier in this NBA season. He'd been out 2 years, not to count numerous other injuries that team has had. Draymond Green been hurt, Steph Curry been hurt within that time frame as well. The organization as a whole, man, changing arenas, going to the I believe it's called the Chase Center, if I'm not mistaken. So changing arenas, different roster changes, man, and just that organization, man, from top to bottom, still sticking with their guys, bringing in guys to complement that team they already had, man. You gotta salute the organization. Shit, 2 years ago, they had the worst record in the NBA, man. The worst record in the NBA. Like I said, everybody was getting their laughs off. Golden State, we told y'all. Kevin Durant left. We told y'all this. We told y'all that. I'm on record. Yo, just wait. You know what I'm saying? Just wait. Y'all got y'all last team. They were the worst team in the NBA. Of course, I wasn't too mad at it because, of course, you know what I'm saying, the bubble and the Lakers did what they had to do. But I told y'all, I said, just wait till Golden State get back. Wait till that team, that ownership, that coaching staff, they get the players in position to compliment that team. Watch what happened. And 2 years ago, they had the worst record in the league. That next year, just with Steph Curry coming back alone, they got in the play-in tournament. They got eliminated, but they got in the play-in tournament, and bam, the next year, back on top, NBA champions, man. So you got to salute the whole staff, man, the whole organization over at Golden State, man. As well as the Celtics, man. I got to salute the Celtics. Y'all know how I feel about that organization, man. I'm a Lakers fan, so I don't got the best, you know what I'm saying, things to say, but I got to salute them, man. They've been, y'all know, different sports. I talk about that team that just been fighting through the trenches for the next few years and finally getting to the finals, to the championship. And they'll be back. You know what I'm saying? They'll be back. I'm not going to guarantee it, though, but they'll be in the mix because, I mean, I said it with Golden State. You can say, okay, John Morant got hurt. What would have happened in that series? Same thing in the East, man. Chris Middleton didn't get hurt. What would have happened with Milwaukee? So injuries play a role, but at the end of the day, man, when that ball going to court, you got to do what you got to do. So I got to salute Boston for making it. Like I said, they probably was the best team in the second half of the NBA season, so got to salute them as well. A lot of people feel like they're missing, like, a true point guard. I can see why people say that, you know what I'm saying, facilitating shots for Tatum and Brown. I can see that. When Williams get fully healthy, Williams is a guy they need to keep around for sure. And y'all got to think about it, man. In terms of Boston, I completely forgot about this as well. I mean, within the past few years in the NBA, we had so many turnarounds and team changing. But you got to remember, man, Boston did have the Isaiah Thomas run. And then they traded for Kyrie Irving and Hayward, and that's supposed to be in their highlight, you know, for real. Then they had this whole thing with Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. Yo, should we break them up? Should we trade somebody? Should we bring another piece? Whatever. I think now they got to solidify. Yo, they can make it with this team. Maybe they are missing a facilitator because, as we've seen in the finals, man, they're just missing, like, that person that can set everything up. You know what I'm saying? Like how Rondo did back when they had their first big three with Paul Pierce and those guys. Like, you need somebody to facilitate, get those guys in place to make things happen, man. That's just way to see the team set up. They might need somebody to facilitate, and who that may be, we shall see. Marcus Smart, he was Defensive Player of the Year, so maybe you can work on him over the summertime, get him in better position to help facilitate. I mean, that would be, I mean, if you want to save some money, just get Marcus Smart in a facilitator role on offense. He can play defense already, so get him a facilitating role on offense and, you know, just see what happens. My overall thoughts on the finals, I will admit, I've been saying this for the past few games, it's not been the prettiest, I'll say. Like I said, outside of Steph Curry, Wiggins, Jaylen Brown had spurts, Williams had spurts on defense. But outside of those four guys, man, a lot of players really kind of went ghost, in my opinion. And we know Golden State, they changed the game. Steph Curry, a generational talent, generational game changer. But the thing about the three-point, man, you live and you die by it. It kind of makes the game a little bit difficult to watch, man. When you got teams just going up and down the court, throwing up threes, and they not going in. Now, when they going in, it's amazing. When Steph Curry shooting half court, Jordan Poole doing what he doing, when they going in, it's excitement, the crowd into it. But when you just bricking and bricking and bricking and you dunking out, you going into the paint, you just throwing it out, and the defense just throwing their hands up, it's like, man, I would like to see some old school San Antonio Spurs, you know what I'm saying? I would like to see that, but that's the game we in now, man. We can't complain about it. Like I said, when it's going in, it's amazing. When it's not, you know what I'm saying, you get the end result. Turnovers, man, in my opinion, the key factor in this NBA Finals. Golden State, throughout their whole entire dynasty, man, they've been turning the ball over. I mean, if you watch Golden State games, they turn the ball over, so they used to it. But Boston, that immediately became their kryptonite. All those turnovers. Jason Tatum just could not get it going. And I say it, man, I get it. Kobe is an inspiration for us all. Whether you play basketball, you do a podcast, just your 9-to-5, you doing what you're doing. If you got a job, Kobe speaks on that in his interviews. That's the Mamba mentality, man. Putting in the work 24/7, doing what you got to do, waking up on time, putting in the extra work. That's Mamba mentality. I know a lot of people thinking it's making clutch shots and, you know what I'm saying, just being a certain type of teammate in basketball. Mamba mentality goes outside of basketball, y'all. And this coming from a Kobe fan, so, you know, so I know what I'm speaking about. But in terms of basketball, man, when you talk about Mamba mentality, man, you got to just stop putting that on everybody, man. You got to stop. Tatum was a no-show. The beginning of the game six, he had a spurt. And that's exactly what Boston had at the beginning of game six, a spurt. Because after that, I think they said Golden State went on like, 21-22-0 run in the first quarter. It was a wrap. Boston was playing catch up the entire game six. They kept that like a 9 to 20 point, you know what I'm saying, deficit that Boston just could never recover. You know what I'm saying? Steph Curry going crazy. He was hungry. They wanted to end it. That what it was, man. In Boston, Al Horford, White, those guys showed up game one. But outside of that, they made shots. But you can't have such a statement win in game one. Then for the rest of the series, you just disappear. Like, you are non-effective. Not on offense, not on defense, whatever the case may be. Brown and Williams were the only high points, I feel like, for Boston. Jaylen Brown wasn't on goal the entire series, but I feel like Williams was definitely a high point. Williams is somebody that Boston should look at for their future and say, okay, whatever we got to do to keep this guy healthy, keep this guy going, we need to do it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like Boston, like I said, they're young talent. They haven't been in the finals before. Golden State, they are well acquainted with the finals. And it's a different ball game, man. You can make it through the first round, second round, conference finals. That's cool, but the finals are a different ball game, man. Steve Kerr, got to salute Steve Kerr, man. Coaching adjustments, bringing in Otto Porter. I mean, people question it, but, hey, Draymond Green doing what he got to do. Let's get to the Warriors real quick. Championship mentality. They was down 2-1 in the series. After game one, a lot of people was like, oh, we told y'all. I'm like, fam, it's a 7-game series. It's the first team to get 4 points. I mean, 4 games. After game one, I saw a lot of people. Oh, we told y'all this. All right. We'll see about that. Andrew Wiggins. I got to salute Andrew Wiggins, man. We know the trade. He was with the Cavs. When Bron came back, they did the trade. Went to Minnesota. Just been bouncing around a little bit. But if it's any team where after you've been bouncing around for a few years and you find a team that can get you settled in and get you to play the position you are meant to play, it's the Golden State Warriors. You know what I'm saying? So I know he's happy. His journey all the lead up to this finals win, this championship win that he was a vital person in, you got to salute Andrew Wiggins, man. He's about to have a good payday. So salute to Andrew Wiggins. Draymond Green stepped up big. I was a fan of Draymond Green. I know a lot of people not a fan of him. I've been a fan. I like that. I come from that early 2000 shit talking era. Kevin Garnett, Shaq, Kobe, Allen Iverson, Jason Kidd talk shit, Gary Payton talk shit. I come from that era. So I love that about him. I'm a fan of him, but I became an even bigger fan of him, man. For somebody to get criticized for their play in the finals, to come alive in game six when, okay, if I'm trash the entire series, you best believe if my team up to close out, that's the game I'm going to step up in. That's the one game he started to make all the wide open threes. I said, yo, Golden State win. Draymond got to hit them open threes. They're going to leave you open. You just got to knock them down. And I think that was like he was 0 for 17, 0 for 15, something like that. But game six, when you're supposed to make them, he started to make them. He started to make plays like he always do. When you got Klay and Steph on the court or Poole and Wiggins on the court, Draymond's going to look like Draymond. Like I said, the past couple years when Golden State was down, they had injuries, the roster changes, he wasn't looking like the Draymond we accustomed to. When he got his boys back on the court and he got some other guys who ready to show up, Draymond's going to look like Draymond. And if anything, I got to salute him for doing his podcast on the press conference thing at the end of the press conference he did. His podcast, which he was getting criticized for as well. Like, why are you recording a podcast? Why you got a finals? Fam, like he said, you're going to get this podcast regardless. For him to do it like that at the end, he talked about the new media, which I feel like I'm a part of the new media. Like, I ain't looking for controversy. I'm going to stand on my word. You know what I'm saying? The new media. So I got to salute Draymond on that point as well. Klay Thompson coming back from injury. The road, like he said, long days, just thinking about, yo, when I come back to the court, will I even be the same person again? You know what I'm saying? And I will admit, Klay didn't have the best final series. I will admit that. He didn't have the best final series, but it's two parts in basketball, man. You got the offensive side, and you got the defensive side. And even on the offensive side, when he wasn't making shots, he was still throwing them hoes up. It ain't like he was just being discouraged and all like, man, my shots ain't going in. I'm just pass up. No, Klay was still shooting. And some of them was going in, but he just wasn't as consistent. Like, game six, Klay wasn't there, but he still was showing like, yo, y'all know if I hit about 2 or 3 in a row, y'all know what's about to happen. So you got to salute him on that for keep on going. And on the defensive side, man, holding Tatum, holding Jaylen Brown. Hey, if I can't do it on one end of the court, I'm going to do it on the other end of the court. Gotta salute him. Gary Payton Jr., Jordan Poole, two guys coming off the bench, man. Vital, vital key to their championship. Looney as well, Otto Porter, all those guys. And what else left to be said, man? Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, man. Easily top 10 right now. I don't care who you put out. As long as the Mamba's still in top 10, hey, I mean top 5, Mamba top 5, Curry might be top 5 depending on who you ask. He changed the game. You go to a court now, you don't see no layup lines, you don't see no dunks, you don't see no mid-range. You see these boys shooting half court. And who? Steph Curry, that's who. Steph Curry showed up, man, proved the doubters wrong. I got to salute him on that. I got to salute. Like, I understand we had that time period where it was just Golden State versus Cavs, Golden State versus Cavs. And I got tired. I got definitely tired of when Kevin Durant was there because I was like, man, this is not a matchup. But when they was down for those 2 years, everybody was talking. Yeah, we told y'all, Curry, they can't do it without KD. They this and that, whoop-de-whoop. I said it. I said, yo, just wait. Just wait. That organization is not going to break up Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. If you got those three guys on the court, you can make something happen. And I was telling y'all, like, yo, just sit back, relax, and wait. And what happened? Another championship, the fourth championship in 8 years. Man, I got to salute them. I got to salute Golden State, man. As far as next year, y'all know I'm that type of fan. First of all, I'm that type of fan where I'm going to immediately go for my team. So next year, Late Show will be back on top. You know what I'm saying? Late Show will be – some way, somehow, Late Show will be back on top next year. But, no, just y'all know, yeah, we'll settle that next year. But Golden State, man, back on top, King of the Mountains again. Salute to Steph, Clay, Draymond, Iggy, Steve Kerr, man, four title, four rings, man. Major, major salute. Yo, new week, new playlist. Stash House Mix number 5 is now available. Check it out on the YouTube page. If you haven't already, subscribe to the YouTube page, man. Share the YouTube page. Thank y'all for the support. Stay tuned for more of the episode. So in the world of music, to start with, man, we had a Versus announcement. And I know I'm only highlighting Versus now when it's a Versus that I'm interested in. June 23rd, man, Night of R&B, Omarion versus Mario. And the great thing about this Versus is they also have a pre-show matchup, which a lot of people have been calling for. I mean, it makes sense. Pre-show matchup would be a tag team match. We got Ray J and Bobby Valentino versus Pleasure P and Sammy. I would definitely be tuned in because with Ray J alone, who knows what about to happen. Bobby Valentino has been known to deal with escorts, so I got to salute him on that. Pleasure P is a vital, vital person from my high school years, going to the teen parties with his records with Pretty Ricky and all that. So got to salute Pleasure P on that. And Sammy, women just love Sammy, so I got to salute Sammy as well. Omarion versus Mario, just off rip, I think I got Omarion winning that. Mario has great records, but I think Omarion just have more great records. You know what I'm saying? So that's June 23rd. So that's what, next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. So definitely, definitely tuned in to that. Also in music, man, the Queen, Beyonce, announced a new album, Act One Renaissance, will be dropping July 29th. All the women, of course, I don't got to speak on the Beehive, man. They already made their purchases of the boxes I seen going around, and they don't know what's in the box or what's on the T-shirt or something like that, but it's Beyonce, man. They paying that dollar for it. And, of course, y'all know when a Beyonce album drop, that means a very, very important tour is coming along as well. A lot of people don't believe me, y'all, but, of course, with this music session, I got stories to go along with this music session, but a lot of people don't believe me. A couple years ago, Beyonce and Jay-Z went on the Run 2 tour, and when they came to Atlanta, a lot of people don't believe me, but I was trying to buy tickets to that concert, and I saw, like, some nosebleed seats for, like, $25, and I didn't care because the only reason I really wanted to go just say I was there. Because it was in the Mercedes-Benz. So I was like, fam, as long as I'm in there, I'll be all right. Because I wasn't tripping. Like, $25, cool. I'll just do that and go do something else afterwards. But I really just wanted to go to hear Jay-Z perform Hey Poppy. Because I feel like he's going to perform Hey Poppy. But I didn't think he performed it, but I just wanted to go just in case he performed Hey Poppy. For some odd reason, I remember that. It was 2018. A lot of stuff was going on, a lot of tours. And I was like, yo, if I can go to a Beyonce and Jay-Z tour for $25, I don't care if I'm at the last row in the arena. For $25, cool. I just go in there, do what I do, and just be out. But a lot of people don't believe me with that. But with this Beyonce album drop, I'm sure a tour is coming along with it as well. So I know the Beehive is very, very excited about that. A project I'm excited about, man, Brent Faiyaz coming back, Wasteland album. He released the track list. The album date is still to be announced. So that's one project I'm definitely waiting on. I fuck with Brent Faiyaz very, very tough. And really, the only albums I'm really waiting on, like I said, like I'm waiting on this person to drop an album, is really in R&B world. Like I got Brent Faiyaz, and probably the most, the person I'm most waiting on is Black. You know what I'm saying? I need some new Black music, a new Black album. And hopefully we get that soon. And hopefully Brent Faiyaz announces his album release date very, very soon as well. Now, to new music. Before I get to the album, I know everybody want to hear me talk about. I just want to give y'all a run through of what other projects dropped. About 2 weeks ago, Currency dropped Spring Clean 2. Y'all know I fuck with Currency heavy, so I got to start with that. This past weekend, Gucci, he dropped the So Icy Gang the Re-Up project with the new 1017. So anything Currency and anything Gucci do, y'all know I got to mention those two guys first. Westside Boogie out of California, he dropped the More Black Superheroes project. Kevin Gates, who also been in the news cycle for the past couple of days, Kevin Gates dropped the Kaiser project. Duke Deuce dropped the Crunk Star project. And y'all know who I fuck with heavy? I'm about to get my stamp. I'm about to get my stamp real quick. Who I fuck with heavy? F-R-E-E fuck nigga, that Glorilla chick. She got a track with Duke Deuce called Just Say That. And she killed that verse, man. If she stay on those type of beats, I don't care. Put her in the box. Get those type of beats. She got something, bro. I fuck with Glorilla heavy, man. I'm gonna say, if you send a couple hundreds, I might send a couple news. Like, she hard, man. She hard, bro. Glorilla is hard, man. She got my stamp. Just stay in that box. Don't go pop. Don't do nothing. Stay in that ratchet ass lane that you in, Glorilla. And you got my stamp, bro. I fuck with Glorilla heavy, man. I like that Fuck Nigga Free song. That shit hard to me, shit. I like that. So, yeah, Deuce dropped Crunk Star. Lil Baby dropped, Lil Baby dropped off a new record called You Did featuring V's and 42 Doug. Baby Project is looking promising. He dropping in July. He didn't announce the date, but he said it's coming in July. So, if Baby dropped the same weekend Beyonce dropped, that would be hard. I think, you know, just from a business standpoint, he may not. But in terms of balance in the world, a Beyonce project for the women, a Baby project for the dudes and the ratchet women, hey, I would be mad at it. And it's my birthday weekend too, that weekend Beyonce draw. Hey, I'm fucking with it. If Baby wanna, hey, I'm fucking with it if Baby wanna do it, but I don't think P don't go allow that over at QC, but that should be interesting. And an album that was supposed to drop but didn't drop, I was waiting on it at least. Joey Badass was supposed to drop his 2000 project, and he tweeted that he pushing it back due to sample clearances. I mean, that's weird to me that your sample clearances didn't get cleared the day before your album. That's kind of weird. We eventually figured out why he pushed it back, and I'm about to get into that right now. But Joey Badass, I was waiting on your project, man. His last project was 2017. So Joey Badass, man, get that album out. Now, to the surprise of a lot of people, even me, we got a surprise album on Friday. And in the words of my boy Vante, I wasn't listening to nothing else because of the disappointment I had in this album. I'll say it, I was disappointed in this album. Drake released his project, Honestly Nevermind, right? And let me just give y'all my mind, give y'all how my day was, because, like I said, it was a surprise album. So Thursday, I went, got some wings, 20-piece. After that, I took a nap. I was asleep, took a nap. I And when I woke up, chilled for a minute, got my phone, got on Instagram. First post I see, Champagne Poppy. My seventh studio album is dropping tonight. Instantly in my mind, oh shit, Drake dropping tonight. Oh. And keep in mind, I've been the one saying this. Yo, let's go back to 2017, 2018, where people just, the week of, they just say, hey y'all, my project dropping Friday. Like, no warning or nothing. So I'm not mad at the way he announced it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, bet, shoot, don't say nothing. Don't give me no other music. Just let me press play and see what happens. And the last time he did that was Dark Demo Tapes during the pandemic. That was kind of rumored already, though. And if you're reading this, too late, some years ago. So that's really the only time he really came out with, yo, I'm dropping something tonight. The Care Package was the Care Package, but that was old song, so I don't really count that. And because of that, that was all of a sudden, I didn't know what to expect. I'm like, okay, new Drake album, bet, let's get it. And sadly, because of that, I fell into the Twitter logic. And the Twitter logic was, yo, we told y'all when CLB dropped, Certified Lover Boy dropped, Drake coming back with something else to make up for that. Which, like I said on the podcast, CLB was cool. It was safe. It wasn't nothing crazy. Like, he had songs on there I enjoyed, TSU, Into Deep. Friends in the Industry, the track with Travis Scott I like. He got records on the track with Lil Durk, Give Young. I still go back and listen to that because it's a Drake album. Like, it had songs on there that I like, but I just felt like it should have been more. So the Twitter logic was, okay, CLB had the Pregnant Women. You know what I'm saying? 9 months later, now this album coming out. So I fell into it. I'm sorry. They got me. I was like, okay, y'all been saying this since CLB dropped. They're like, okay, 9 months, wait, it got Pregnant Women on the front. Wait, he gonna drop something to make up for it. So I feel it too. I like, okay, maybe this the album that CLB should have been. You know what I'm saying? Maybe. So, my overall thoughts on this Honestly Nevermind project is definitely out of left field and it's not for me. And I'm gonna give y'all, I got stories, I got everything to back up my argument with this. I know people, oh, y'all gotta open your mind in different genres, y'all just told y'all a couple weeks ago, I'm fucking with that Bad Bunny album. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still on that Bad Bunny album. So I can get into different genres, but this particular genre of EDM, house music, dance music, whatever you wanna call it, I got a traumatic experience with that. Now, I don't know drugs or nothing. Nobody slipped me no X pill, nothing like that, nothing crazy, but I'm gonna let y'all know about it. But just this certain genre, I really don't rock with heavy. But I can't say it all the way because of this album, people have been bringing up Catronata name. And I fuck with Catronata heavy. I'm like, wait a minute. Catronata? I said Catronata. I can listen to Catronata morning, evening, noon, night. It don't matter. Catronata albums are amazing. So I'm like, okay, if Catronata making the same type of music, maybe I just prefer Catronata version of it. Because this Drake album, not only was it not what I wanted to hear, I didn't want to hear none of this shit at all. Because I'm looking for, y'all know me, I like rapping Drake, I like that Houston slowed down R&B Drake, and we can make an argument, I enjoy the Caribbean Drake too. And people was comparing this to More Life. I didn't get that vibe. More Life, I enjoy Passion Fruit. I like Blim. From Views, I'm Not Mad at Controller, One Dance. I don't get that vibe from this album. And maybe it's because I didn't expect this. I don't think nobody expected this from Drake on this album. And people are like, yo, y'all got to look at the genre that Apple Music and Tidal and Spotify got this under the fan. I'm not looking at that shit before I press play on the album. It's Drake. I'm going to press play and whatever music I get, I get. I don't care who it is. Drake, SZA, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, whoever, Bad Bunny, whoever. I'm not looking at what genre Apple Music got it under. I'm just pressing play and I can listen to the music and tell, okay, this is this type of music. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing with, I said it, with Kendrick Lamar album, with J. Cole, with Drake. It just, when y'all do this whole thing of this album is for this, this album is for this. Fam, let's press play. If I enjoy the music, I enjoy the music. The way Drake did this dance music is not for me. Now, if y'all want to say, yo, Catronata make the same type of music, Tyler, why you say that about Drake and not Catronata? I like the way Catronata do it. Catronata, it'd be Catronata versus featuring Fonte, Catronata featuring Sid, Catronata featuring Tinashe. I like the way Catronata do it. I don't like the way Drake did this. This is not what I wanted. When I wake up from a nap from eating some hot wings and hearing Drake got an album dropping at midnight and everybody doing this Twitter logic shit saying, yo, this the album that CLB should have been. I don't think I'm about to get 5 a.m. in Toronto or not even that. It could be Houston, Atlanta, Vegas vibes again. It could be something that Drake already gave me, but just in a better form than CLB was. I did not expect to hear this shit at all. And I know it wasn't a regular Drake album because the intro is not even intro. The intro is an instrumental. So I didn't want to hear that. So before I drag y'all out through this with the EDM scene and my experience with it and whoop-de-whoop, I just want to let y'all know, this album ain't for me. I'm not fucking with this album. It's going to do what it do. It's Drake. He's going to probably have the number one album in the world. I get all that. It's tapping into a different scene and all that. I get it. But for Tyler, for me personally, it's not for me. You know what I'm saying? If I want to get into the mood, I want to dance, I'll put on Catronada or I'll put on Bad Bunny or something like that. I go to a Bad Bunny album, go to that song, go to the track radio, and J Balvin will come on after that. You know what I'm saying? If I want to listen to Suavemente or something like that, that's my vibe. The Caribbean vibe, I'll listen to some Vibes Cartel, something like that. But this, honestly, never mind. Honestly, you could have kept that shit in the tub. That's my overall opinion on this album. But I can't say that I was fully surprised. Because in the world of Twitter, people go to work, they do their research, people retweet stuff, and you see certain details. So from my standpoint, I got on Twitter, and really when Drake announced it all the way up to the NBA Finals, I was seeing things about this album before it dropped. I didn't want to believe it, so I can say I was probably 70% shocked on this album that the album went this direction. Let me tell y'all why. I saw a retweet from DJ Carnage, whose name now is Gordo. I guess he changed his name. He's doing a whole different change, whatever the case may be. DJ Carnage said, out of these 14 songs, he produced six of them. If you know DJ Carnage, he's into that EDM scene, the Las Vegas day party scene, he makes that kind of, that's his scene. So I was like, okay, if he is producing on this, I don't think this is going to be for me. For one, when it comes to Drake, I want to hear Drake in 40. Y'all know that. I want to hear Drake in 40. So I saw that and I was like, okay. So I can't say I was all the way surprised. And this is not the first time Drake has done this music scene. In 2017 with DJ Khaled, that To The Max record. And I didn't like that song either. You know what I'm saying? I guess this type of music is just not for me. He did it in 2017 with DJ Khaled. Like I said, I don't got this in the same boat. People saying, yo, it's more like More Life and whatnot. Nah, I like the Caribbean Drake. The house music Drake is not for me. You know what I'm saying? Let me give y'all a background on this, on Tyler and the EDM house music scene, right? And I just thought about another story with that, too. I ain't even having my notes. My first introduction, and if I'm wrong in this genre, if I got this genre mixed up with another genre, please message me, mention me, do something. Say, Tyler, you got the genres mixed up. This genre is this, and the Drake genre, the new Drake album genre is this. So if I'm wrong in this, please let me know. So my first being outside with this genre, I gotta say Jersey Shore. Now, if I'm wrong, if fist pumping music and this music is not the same genre, please let me know. But from my ears, that's what I got. I got more of a fist pumping vibe than a More Life vibe, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So, Jersey Shore vibe, that's going on early 2010, 2011. Salute my guys, Bit Watts, AJ. We gotta talk about this story still. Went to a rave in Auburn. So let's say this. If Jersey Shore vibe and this Drake album vibe, it's not that. That rave definitely put me in the mind of this album. Because that rave was definitely the music. You know what I'm saying? We was there. We didn't know what to wear. We got our clothes messed up. But we enjoyed ourselves. Like, that was our first time experiencing something like that. Like, we just want to do something different. Been outside for a minute, y'all. I've been doing different things. I ain't done nothing crazy, but I done went to different scenes, you know what I'm saying, just to figure out what best suits me. You know what I'm saying? So, went to the Raven Arbor. That was cool. And for like the next 6-8 months, we was trying to find another one to go to, but we just couldn't. So, I was quickly off of that. downtown Columbus, you from this area, we had the Mits Ultra Lounge. That kind of put me in the vibe of this Drake album as well. And that was only something I went to if I was like drunk, or my boy Julius, salute my boy Julius as well. He got me in because he did security and all that. You know what I'm saying? That also put me in the mind of this vibe. But what really threw me off from this house and EDM vibe, man, 2014, 2015 in Troy. Shout out to everybody who went to Troy. Y'all know, if when I say this story, y'all gonna know, okay, this type of time Tyler was on in Troy. It was just one of those nights. One of those nights in Troy when nothing going on and everybody just linked up at my partner AJ. Shout out to AJ, Steven, Josh, Day Crib, and I was about to say Hunter. It wasn't not Hunter's Mountain. Damn, what that trailer park was called that them boys stayed in. Damn, but y'all know. Damn, Forest Acres. That's the name of the Forest Acres. Was at Day Crib in Forest Acres. And this is years ago, so I can say it now. Smoked out. Shout out to AJ, the Red Room podcast. We was in the Red Room, the room that podcast is based off. We was in the Red Room, smoked out, whatever the case may be. Probably watching YouTube videos, Major Lazer, Rick and Morty, Family Guy. We was in there watching something. It was a group of us. It was a good group. Wasn't cramped, but it was a good group of us, right? So after that, you know, everybody know we about to go eat at whatever the case may be. But before we left, Josh took the aux cord. Josh took the aux cord and started playing house music. And y'all know, when we somewhere, somebody playing music that not really for us, we probably be like, yo, what's that, what's that? But at the time, it was a thing. I was like, okay, that Josh vibe. Like, he's into that music. So I wasn't tripping. I wasn't tripping until my stomach started hurting. And I was like, wait a minute, my stomach, I'm like, why my stomach hurting? Like, it was just, the beat was making my stomach turn. I'm like, fam, somebody please put on some Gucci Mane, some Wiz, some Currency, anything to get my stomach back on rhythm. Like, the beat was just messing up the rhythm in my stomach, and I wasn't right for the rest of the night. We went to McDonald's. I couldn't eat. I saved it for the next day. So after that, I was like, okay, this house music ain't for me, because if I'm and I'm not really the dance guy. Like, I ain't trying to go in the club. That's not me. Like, I'm more in the intercut guy. I go to a bar. Give me a bar with TVs to watch sports, some good food, some good drinks, a beautiful bartender. I'm in that scene. If I'm in the club, a famous Rocco thumb through that check. Rocco thumb through that check. My favorite club, the Booty Club. So that's where I'm at. I ain't in the party, I ain't into that. You know what I'm saying? So after that, I was like, all right. So maybe that got something to do with it, with this album. But all in all, this wasn't what I wanted. When I hear a Drake surprise album, I'm thinking of something totally different than this. Now, I get it. He's tapping into a scene that's not being tapped into. You know what I'm saying? Drake is known for that. We got different Drake. We got Toronto Drake. We got Atlanta Drake. We got Memphis Drake. We got Houston Drake. We got Caribbean Drake. We got London Drake. And now we got house music Drake. I mean, it's on key with him. Like, he taps into different scenes, and some of them I like, some of them I don't. I think the only Drake, cultural Drake, that I'm not really into is the London scene. I think the only London song I like by Drake is On More Life, that KMT. And that's the only London Drake I'm into. But outside of that, just give me the Drake I'm used to. But this house music, I understand that. I understand what he's doing. He's a national pop star. I understand that completely. But just in terms of my opinion, what I wanted from him, this wasn't it. You know what I'm saying? And on a brighter side, though, on his Sirius XM show, he announced another Scary Hours is coming out, which is the Drake. That's the Drake for me, Scary Hours. The first Scary Hours, I don't think I ever said this neither. The first Scary Hours, 2018, he had that Diplomatic Immunity and God's Plan. Diplomatic Immunity, in my opinion, is still within the past. That was 2018, so let's say More Life had some great rapping on it. So let's say within the past 5 years, Diplomatic Immunity is easily, for me, probably top three Drake rapping songs. I got from 2017 to 2022, my three favorite rapping Drake songs. Personally, Diplomatic Immunity, my favorite. What's the shit on More Life that I really like? When he talk about Meek in that verse, Lose You. I like Lose You a lot. And third is not his song, but that verse he got on Rick Ross, Gold Roses. Yeah. See, that's my Drake. Y'all know my Drake. Rapping Drake, Timestamp Drake, Houston, Atlanta, Vegas, Jaded, In Too Deep, TSU, that vibe, Drake. But this house music just not for me, man. It's not for me. I saw everybody debating about it. Yo, this album is for this. Yo, Drake, y'all don't know Drake music like that. Woo-de-woo. Hey, when you come to Tyler with this album, honestly, never mind. Hey, that's the dud. That's the dud. That's the dud. It's below Thank Me Later. It's an album. Don't try to be like, yo, it's not his album. He announced it. It's my seventh or whatever studio album. It's last on the list. Thank Me Later is a lot better. Scorpion is a lot better. More Life is a lot better. It's hard to even judge. If I was him, I would have told DJ Carnage, hey, bro, you could put this, the six songs you produce, you could put that shit out on your whole album and you take credit for this shit. I'm not putting this album out and messing up my stats. You know what I'm saying? I get it. You're doing different cultures and all that. Different countries going to stream it. But in terms of my stats with the United States, this is going to fuck up everything. They already got Scorpion download. They got More Life download. They got Thank Me Later download. I guess you want an automatic. This is the automatic L for me. If anybody got this album over any other Drake album, you crazy as hell. You crazy as hell if you got this over any other Drake album. You are crazy. Z. Shout out to 21 Savage though, being the only featured on the last song. But Drake, man, it just everything about this, from the no promotion to the immediate release to how he's saying, yo, if you don't get it now, you'll understand later. It was different. Drake is a mastermind. Drake is very well calculated. So this is definitely something out of left field. And then once again, my words bite me in my ass. I enjoyed that whole, yo, I'm dropping my album whenever I drop it. I mean, I enjoy that, yo, I'm dropping my album Friday. Check it out. But I would have loved the, hey, y'all, my next album is coming out Friday. It's something totally different. So just be prepared. I would have enjoyed that rather than pressing play and just be like, wait a minute, damn, the whole album is like this? Ain't no rapping to break this shit up. Ain't no slow jam to break this shit up. So, yeah, man, that's where I'm at with it. Like, I ain't want to drag out through. I'd be like, oh, I want to know what Tyler's opinion is. Nah, Tyler ain't fucking with this, man. And I don't think I'll be anywhere. And this coming from a guy who's been on a trip recently, got more trips coming up, and I'm still not like, okay, wait, I'm going to wait till I go on this island to listen to this. Nah, put that Bad Bunny on. Put that J Balvin on. Put some Bob Marley on. Put some Vice Cartel, some Springer Bangs. Some Wiz Kid, some Burna Boy, something like that. That's what Drake need to go back to. Go fuck with Burna Boy, man. You know what I'm saying? Fuck with Burna Boy, Wiz Kid, man. Get off of this house music shit, man. Let DJ Carnage and them boys have this, man. So, yeah, that's my opinion on Honestly Nevermind, man. Drake, I understand it completely what he's doing, but in terms of Tyler and Tyler ears and Tyler being a person who enjoys Drake music, it's not for me, man. And if I'm wrong in how I just broke that down with the music and Catronata and all that, please let me know. But if y'all want to hear some good or good alternative, go listen to Catronata. I can vouch for him and his Boiler Room on YouTube and all that. I can vouch for Catronata. But Drake, you caught me off guard with this one, dog. I don't know about this one, man. It's definitely last on your album list, in my opinion. So, man, to end this episode, man, some crazy, crazy wrestling news, man. WWE Chairman, CEO Vince McMahon. Wow. Allegations, man. Scandal. $3 million in hush money to a former employee. I'm just speaking on what information is available to the public as of right now. Sex scandal, former employee, non-disclosure agreement, along with another WWE employee, man, John Laurinaitis. If you're a fan of wrestling, you probably remember John Laurinaitis being the on-air personality. And, of course, everybody knows Vince McMahon, man. Billion dollar corporation, man. CEO, chairman. Oh, my God. This is crazy. Investigated by the board of directors. Received an email from anonymous woman talking about the sexual relationship they had. And I don't know, since then or throughout the years, they saying it's been more allegations that have been going, you know what I'm saying, unnoticed or not spoken about. But if I can be 1,000 with y'all, man, I can't say I'm surprised, man. And in the form of wrestling, I know wrestling, I don't talk about the in-ring stuff. I always talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff. But in terms of this case, man, the in-ring stuff kind of is like a life-imitating art situation. Because if you watch wrestling throughout the years, man, I know everybody talk about the Attitude Era, a great era. That's what got me into wrestling as a kid. But that Ruthless Aggression era, Vince McMahon was doing some wild shit on TV, man. Kiss My Ass Club. They were doing bra and panties matches with the Divas. And some just made it. And then when you see, like, the promos in the office and all this, it's like, okay, this real? Or Vince McMahon, like, a real, like, a creepy dude or something? So I can't say I'm shocked at this, because Vince do show signs of being, like, a creepy dude. Nasty, nasty work this, though, is, man. $3 million in hush money. That just crazy. This is the biggest threat, they said, to the WWE, to the entire wrestling world, I say, since the 1994 steroid scandal. When, if you got Hulu, man, watch Dark Side of the Ring on Hulu. Y'all know I talk about that show a lot when I talk about wrestling. Dark Side of the Ring on Hulu, they got the steroid scandal episode. Vince McMahon showed the court with the neck brace, faking a neck injury and all type of wild stuff. Hulk Hogan, you know what I'm saying, completely, you know what I'm saying, sticking up for Vince, you know what I'm saying, lying under oath and all type of wild shit. So this is the biggest threat to the WWE since the steroid scandal in the early 90s. The after effects of this, man, Vince has stepped down as chairman and CEO for the time being. His daughter, Stephanie, is taking his place. And it's crazy because a couple weeks ago, Stephanie just recently announced she was stepping away, you know what I'm saying, to spend more time with her family. You know what I'm saying? So that's crazy that she wanted to step back, and now she got to step back in because of all this. So that's wild in itself. And Friday night on SmackDown, it was promoted. They posted on all these social medias, yo, Vince McMahon is going to speak live tonight. Make sure y'all tune in. So immediately the wrestling world was like, okay, we got to tune in. Everybody knew, okay, there's going to be ratings. We knew that part already. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no shot that, okay, Vince is going to start the show off. So Vince come out, and I'm immediately surprised because the fans are cheering. Like, this is like a Me Too thing. I know the Me Too movement. This is in that realm, in my opinion. The fact that the crowd was cheering, I was like, oh, shit. Like, they chanted his theme music. And all. I guess it's a situation where people don't want to believe it yet until more things come out. But I was surprised that the fan reaction was like that. I can say that. I thought it was either not going to, not boo, but. And then the thing about it, they got this thing now in the arenas on TV where they got, like, the crowd speaker, so they can, if the crowd is not cheering, they can make it sound like the crowd cheering. But when you see, like, the people in the crowd faces, you can't fake that. Like, they smiling and everything. So I was kind of shocked by that. So he comes to the ring, and only thing he does is, like, reiterate the WWE tagline, then, now, forever together, throws the mic and leave. So I'm like, okay, how should I take this? And a lot of people were saying that probably was a situation where he was like, hey, if I go down, I'm taking everybody down with me. So maybe a lot, like I said, a lot has left to be known about this. We have information now, but in terms of court cases and all that, we shall see how this play out. But I am disappointed, man, as a wrestling fan. I'm not shocked because, like I said, with wrestling, it's a lot of dark, dark stories, man. If you just do your YouTube researches and, like I said, Hulu, Dark Side of the Ring, it's a lot of dark stuff going on behind the scenes, man. So, but I can say I am shocked about this, man. Like, it's been rumored, you know what I'm saying, abuse of power and all that. We hear different stories. Mickie James, when she got let go a couple years ago, they said, she had said they sent her stuff in a trash bag and all that. And we had recently Sasha Banks and Naomi walk out on the company. And it's been some things, man, within like the past couple of years that's, you know what I'm saying, still holding that crown of the WWE just being like a place where, yo, you see what you see on TV, but behind the scenes, man, you never know what you're going to hear. And all this still just playing a part of, in terms of wrestling period, it's just been a lot going on, man. Contract issues, injuries from both AEW and WWE, man, just been a lot going on these past couple weeks, man, and it just, we'll just see how it play out. Like, I was just talking to my coworker not too long ago, we just got to see how it play out, man, with everything in terms of the wrestlers being hurt, wrestlers walking out on companies, wrestlers feeling a certain way about their own air product. It's just a lot to take in right now, man. And y'all know me as a wrestling fan. I will be tuned in, but this, I had to speak on this, man. Vince, wow. And the fact that he came out smiling on Friday night on SmackDown, it's typical Vince fashion, but I didn't expect him to just reiterate the tagline and just throw the mic and walk out. Like, I was expecting some type of, you know, official statement saying, yo, I'm about to step down. Y'all know the situation. I figured he was going to go more in detail. I don't know why. I thought he was just going to speak more about what's going on. But once again, man, a $3 million hush money for a former employee, abuse of power, man, sex scandal. Not a settlement. That's the thing about it. I thought for a minute, I was like, okay, if it's a $3 million settlement, why are we still talking about it? It wasn't a settlement. It was hush money. $3 million. So we'll see about this. We'll see if more people come out, more former employees or current employees. Who knows? We'll see. But all in all, as a wrestling fan, I will say this is a big threat to the company since the steroid scandal. You know what I'm saying? It's a huge, huge threat. So we'll see how it play out. I'll be tuned in. Something else crazy come up about it, I'll be sure to let you guys know. Yo, this has been episode 171, Stash House Podcast. Make sure you guys go out. Have a great work week, man. Stay hydrated. Stay cool as much as possible. Catch y'all here same time next week, man. Keep me in your prayers. I'll do the same for y'all. Salute.